Okay, what we want to do is I put in here, now we definitely praise today. Amen? We definitely praise. But I've named this one, grumbling or praise, which is it? So, if you would, we'll go to Exodus 14, verse 30. We're going to pick up there in just a moment. In this story, we've been going through, if you've been watching the videos, we are on a journey. Now, I want you to understand, in where we are right now in this particular place in the journey, what we need to learn is not grumbling. Okay? Whenever they were in Egypt, Yahweh did mighty and powerful things. Amen? All of these plagues, He pinpointed, He did exactly what Moses, when Moses said this, it happened. When He said, you know, may this stop, it happened. Even to the death of the firstborn. He didn't say, let's just go out there and kill all the Egyptians. He pinpointed it to the firstborn and all of their livestock and everything. So you could see where the Father was pinpointing, and this shows you how powerful He is. It leaves nothing to your imagination to where science or anybody else can just explain it away. Because how do you explain away when somebody says the death of the firstborn, and that's who all died, was just the firstborn? You know what I'm saying? It's just not a fluke. These are mighty things. Even the blood over the doorpost and the lintel is powerful. But here's the thing. We need to learn as people doing our part, not so much just getting caught up on Yahweh's powerful things that He's done for us, because He's going to continue to do powerful things for us. But we need to learn to do our portion and our part. So here we go in this journey again. And like I said, this is not just about the people of Israel. It's about us today. We are so much in the middle of this today. Let's pick up verse 30. They came through the Red Sea. The Egyptians are gone. That's what we're fixing to talk about. He saved them. So verse 30 says, thus Yahweh saved Israel from that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. So Yahweh saved and Israel saw. The next verse, 31, it says, Israel saw the great power that Yahweh used against the Egyptians. So the people feared Yahweh and they believed in Yahweh and His servant Moses. Okay, next chapter, 15, verse 1. Now, Israel saw, they were saved, they saw His great power, they feared Yahweh, they believed in Him and His servant Moses. And it was such a powerful move that they wrote a praise song. And this is what we're going to talk about in this praise song. So in this praise song, I want you to listen at their confession. Because this praise song is inspired by what the Father did for them and their confession of what they believe about the Father. Okay? Verse 1. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to Yahweh, saying, remember in the charismatic, we used to sing this song. Remember that one? I'm not going to sing it, but I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, for the horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. Y'all remember that? We used to sing that. You'd get fired up. BJ, if things were a little bit slow, you'd sing that song, you'd get things fired up, you'd get things rolling in church, okay? You understand what's going on back there. This is one of those songs. But it is a good song, and it's something that happened, and this is strictly and straight out of His Word. So we are to sing to Him. He has triumphed gloriously, and the horse and the rider thrown it. He destroyed Egypt. Verse 2, listen to their confession. Yahweh is my strength and my song. And guys, He should be. He should be. He's my strength. He's my song. He has become my salvation. This is my Elohim. In other words, they are now accepting Him. You are my Elohim. There is no other. You're my Elohim. And I will praise You. My Father's Elohim. I'm claiming You for all of my genealogy. And I will exalt Him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host, He cast into the sea, and His chosen officers were sunk into the Red Sea. The floods covered them. Hallelujah, they were shouting and singing. They went down into the depths like a stone. Here's another part of their confession. Your right hand O Yahweh, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, shatters the enemy. So I wrote down here, so by their own confessions, and guess what? It said Israel saw. They were eyewitnesses to these accounts of how great Yahweh is. So by what they've seen and by their confession, can we say that they never grumbled again? But that's a question. How can you witness coming out of Egypt, being in Egypt, seeing all that he did, pinpointing every plague to the T, destroying their gods, all of their gods, even the god of war just died whenever that sea covered them. Pharaoh, Egypt, their gods would never haunt them again. And they were confessing this. Do we not do this when we have great battles in our life? But why, when something hits us, blindsides us, do we go back to grumbling? Or we go back, and what we talked about on the video last week, is our prayer. We got to be careful that when we're praying to Him, it's not a grumble. That it is true faith, and it is true. I'm asking you to help me here. You know, the Forsythes, they have a valid prayer. Father, we need you active in our life because of our house sale or not, and how this is going to work out and where we're going. There, that is an active prayer of faith, but we don't need to grumble. Because if we say that the Father's leading us, then we need to know and be satisfied that He's leading us. Amen? But I can tell you, and I'll tell them, it's not easy sometimes. But we got to learn not to grumble. So here, they're professing He is glorious in power. He shatters all of the enemies. He's proven it. They witnessed that. Verse 7. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. And you know what? That's a great praise song. That is an excellent praise song because every bit of that is true. But we need to be reminded of this praise song, and we need to sing this song, and it needs to be a part of our life even when we get blindsided. All right, let's skip down. We're not going to read all the song. We're going to skip down to verse 20. And it says this, then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with the tambourine and dancing. And Miriam sang this song, sing to Yahweh, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider is thrown into the sea. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 2 before we go to verse 22. In Exodus. So we're going to hold your finger there. Let's go to Philippians. Remember that whenever we came into this month, the word for us was see the light and be the light. See the light and be the light. This ties in a lot with what I believe the Father was teaching us and telling us during this time. And we've had great opportunity this month to have this to happen in our life. Okay, now Paul is writing a letter to the Philippians. He's writing a letter to believers. Okay? Therefore, my beloved, and let me just say this. Philippians, if you read about them, they were a very obedient community. They were a community that Paul was very proud of. But yet, with everybody else, you have to always make sure things are on the up and up. Okay? So he says, therefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed. In other words, you've been an obedient community. Not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, we hear that all the time. We've always quoted that, that we're to work out our own salvation. But you always have to add the fear and trembling part with it. Because a lot of times, whenever you're doing something wrong and things are not going and you know you're not obedient, say like if all of a sudden you decided that you wanted to eat crawfish again. And you know it's wrong, you know it's against Torah, but you'll say, well, I need to work out my own salvation. But that ain't what he said. The fear and the trembling part's got to come in there. Because the fear, let me just say it like this. Now, when we're going through this story, I want you to picture this too. Whenever the children of Israel, when we pick up back in verse 22, the children of Israel, they grumble about water we're going to go through there, about something to eat. And you know, Yahweh didn't raise His voice against them. And he went through, but he kept saying that there's going to be a test. There's a test. There's a test. There's a test. But when we got down to the golden calf, Yahweh took his belt off and he spanked that honey. Because you know what? Time, it was over with. Because 3,000 people died that day. There comes a time, our grumbling, he's going to take his belt off and he's going to do what he needs to do to straighten us out. He gives us time in these testing and trials to get it right. So we have to understand we're no different than the children of Israel in our lives today. Because guys, we will make right decisions and sometimes we make wrong decisions. Even when we're praying and we're seeking and we want to know what's going on, sometimes we make right ones, sometimes we don't. But the thing about it is pure out rebellion, he's going to take his belt off. Okay? So, just to throw that out there. So the fear and trembling has to come with working out our salvation. I like this next verse, verse 13. To me, this is the definition of grace. Because we always say that grace is the power and desire to do his will. Look what he says in here. It says, for it is Elohim who works in you. Do you know it's Elohim that works in us? If he's not working in us, we're a failure. He is the one that gets the glory. He's the one that works in us. We have to allow him to. And we have to make that conscious choice to do what's right, follow his ways. But he is the one that gives us the power to overcome this flesh. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is beyond weak. So this is what he's saying. For it is Elohim who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So he gets the glory for this. It is him who works in us to will and to work. Look at the next verse. Doing all things with grumbling and disputing. Thank you. Thank you. Doing all things without grumbling and disputing. I think Paul was saying we need to learn from our forefathers that at every turn, when something doesn't go the way we wanted, I ministered that, you know, through the video too. When we pray and we ask the Father, a lot of times he doesn't give us exactly what we want the way we want it. Remember, he looks at the bigger picture. We can't see way down the road. We have to trust him that when we pray, then whatever he has for us, if we're making a move, we have to understand whatever he brings us to, there are testing and trials that come our way, but it's to build our faith. But do you know what really the testing and the trials are for? It's for us to quit looking at ourself and look to him for the provisions. If he makes us thirsty, he's doing it because he's trying to tell us to quit going in at the convenience store and getting a Mountain Dew. In other words, if you can go and buy it, then you're not looking to me spiritually. Feeding is exactly the same way. He made them hungry so that they would trust him. That's why when you see them grumbling here, he's not jumping on them and rebuking them at this moment. It's because he is testing them. So guess what, guys? He's going to do us the same way. He's going to test us with thirst. He's going to test us with hunger. But more than that, he's going to test us for hungering and thirsting after his word. So why? It would drive us to it. Are we really and truly, we've talked about this, how faithful are we in his word? Well, then you know what? He may test us with hunger and thirst for his word if we're not in it. And then all of a sudden, when we get hungry, then what is it supposed to do? It should drive us to eat. It should drive us to drink. But to drink what he has us to drink and to eat what he has us to eat. You know, Steve mentioned this whenever he was on his teaching a while back during the feast. You know, there's no sports. There's no basketball. There's no football. There's reruns. But there's no active sports. There's no theaters. There's no going to the malls. They're fixing to open that back up. What have we done with this time? Have we poured ourselves into this? Or have we tried to go through the channels and find every rerun to satisfy and amuse us? Just saying. So the Father is saying, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of Elohim without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. So can I ask you a question? Do you think that this world that we live in today is crooked and twisted? It's about as crooked and twisted as it can get. I have never seen such going on. Are you going to believe me? It's just like this is what they say. You going to believe me or your lying eyes? You know what I mean? It's just crazy. But he's telling us that that's not our, the crooked and the twisted generation part we're to pray for, but we have a responsibility to see the light and to be the light during this crooked and twisted generation. But I'm going to tell you, if we're grumbling and disputing people, there's no light going to shine within us. And this is why he's telling him right off the bat, do all things, everything that happens, all things are to be done without grumbling and disputing. That because if you don't do that, then we would be blameless and innocent, children without blemish. And that's what he's asking us to be. Then we can be the light that shines in this world. Then he says this, verse 16, holding fast to the word of life, so that the day of Messiah, that in the day of Messiah, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Verse 17, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering, in other words, what he's saying, no matter what comes our way, we need to hold fast without complaint. And this is what he's saying. And Paul had a lot of things come his way. I mean, look, the guy was whipped, the guy was beaten, the guy was stoned, and he didn't complain. He was more concerned about running in vain than not. He was more concerned about the calling that the Father gave him. Are we that way? Or do we complain when we put ourselves in situations? Because a lot of times, what do when things don't come our way is we put ourselves in position and the spanking comes and then we're complaining about it. Just saying. So Paul is saying here that even if I'm poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offerings of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. So I just wanted to bring that. Let's go back to Exodus 15:22. I just wanted to bring that segment out because that's something that we need to highlight, that we do all things without grumbling or disputing. Because guys, you know, whenever I've been going through this and I've been reading this story, already read it, been reading it over and over and over again, and this grumbling is just really just popped out at me, and it is neon sign how many times that word is used from the time that before Moses showed up when they were crying out and grumbling, all the way even past when they're even before they ain't got into the promised land yet, and it's still going on. Because now we got Korah, we got all of these other things that happen. So I just know that this is the major theme, one of the major themes that the Father's trying to teach us from the time of Egypt to Sinai through the wilderness in the promised land. The grumbling and disputing's got to stop. Not just here, I'm talking about for the body of Messiah as a whole. When it can hold as a whole, then we can be without spot and blemish. Can we see what I'm saying on that? Okay. All right, so let's go into verse, what did I say, 22? Okay. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea. Now just remember, they wrote a praise song and they had revival. Okay, they wrote a praise song, they had revival. It said Miriam and them, they're all dancing with tambourines and violent emotion, they're praising, okay? Verse 21, that's where we were at. Verse 22, then they set out from the Red Sea. They went into the wilderness of Sur. They went what? 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. 3 days after the revival. I just want this to sink in. 3 days after the revival. Yeshua goes in to Jerusalem on a colt on the 10th of Nisan. 4 days later, he's hanging on a torture stake. And they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. That needs to sink in. We need, as the body of Messiah, because he's talking to covenant people here, he's fixing to make a covenant with Israel here, but we're already in covenant with Israel. We need not to be so wishy-washy to where 3 days or 4 days passed and we're totally looking at something on the other end of the spectrum. It's like, and I just want that to sink in, because what makes us think that we're different? Because I've said this, me and Bill, Tammy and Sandra's dad, we've had many conversations about this. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the different people, the lawyers, the scribes, they knew the Torah. They knew the Torah inside and out. Yeshua did tell them, because of your traditions, you made the word of Elohim of none effect. That is a very, very true statement. But these people knew the prophets, and they did not see Yeshua in the prophets. Yeshua said it in a parable. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe them, how are they going? They're not going to believe one who's been raised from the dead. And you know what? He was right. They didn't. Can you imagine the moment he said, it is finished, and the earth quaked, and it destroyed their precious temple, and the veils rent, and all of these things happening, and they can still deny? And then 3 days later, they're having to cover up through lies and paying guards off that the disciples come and stole his body. Can you imagine the arrogance and the denial of all the things that's happened? Can I tell you something? Whenever he returns the second time, the religious crowd's going to do the same thing. They're going to do whatever they have to do to cover it up, because they don't want to lose their power. They don't want to lose their place of piety, whatever. You know what I'm saying? We need to be people. This word tells us that he's going to return. And I'm looking for that return. There's something stirring and happening. Amen? Stirring and happening. Or where am I at? 3 days journey. Okay, verse 23. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, I'm just saying this. I wanted it to sink in. We're only talking 3 days from revival. Probably the best revival that you've ever been at. And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, they're complaining. And look what they're saying. Well, I'll get to that in just a minute. And he cried to Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Then Yahweh made them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them. See, he didn't get angry with them about their grumbling here. But he used this opportunity to test them and to teach them something, and he gave them a statute and a commandment. And then this is what he was saying, and this is all he's ever been telling us. If you will diligently listen, will we listen? That word is Shema. Listen with the intent to obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. He's asking a question. And guys, he's asking me and you the same question. He didn't ask them that question. He's asking me and you that question right now as I'm reading this to you. This is what he's asking us. If we will diligently listen to his voice, to the voice of Yahweh Elohim, and do what is right in his eyes, not our own eyes, in creating some way of worship that he didn't create, but doing what's right in his eyes, giving ear to his commandments and keeping all his statutes, he says, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh your Elohim, your healer. Now guess what? If you don't listen, do, give ear, and keep, guess what's going to come our way? The diseases of Egypt. And that's just what happens. But he's telling us there's a testing. They were thirsty, and he tested them, and he told them, listen, do, give ear, and keep, and I will keep you whole, because I'm your healer. That's a promise, because he doesn't lie. Verse 27, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. So now they're happy again. They went from revival, they went to grumbling, now they're happy. They got plenty of water, they got plenty of shade tree. But this time, I noticed they didn't write a praise song. Do you see a song about the 12 springs and the 70 palms? Good opportunity to write a praise song. Jeremiah, maybe y'all can get together. Maybe y'all can write a praise song. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 1. They were there. Then it says, they set out from Elim. All the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. And between Elim and Sinai was the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. Now, I just want to say this. There's a lot going on in a short period of time here. There's a lot happening. And the whole congregation of the... You can't make this up. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. So now what's wrong? And the people of Israel said to them, look what they said. What did we had died in the hands of Yahweh in the land of Egypt? In other words, why didn't you just kill us in Egypt? How many times are they going to use this line before we get to the promised land? A bunch. When we sat, listen now. When we sat by the meat pots, when we had our barbecues, we was all sitting around by the fire, had a barbecue, had the crappie and, you know, and all of that, a little deer meat and all that kind of stuff going on. While we had all the meat pots and we ate bread to the full. For you brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. Why didn't you kill us when our bellies were full? Why do you wait to bring us out here where we're starving and then you kill us? I'd rather for you to kill us when my mouth was running with crappie all out hanging out of it. It's like, guys, can I now remind you what they just witnessed? And then they're worried about water. They just left the water. He just threw a limb in the water and made it sweet. And then he led them to 12 springs and plenty of shade. And now there's this thing inside their belly making noise. And it's grumbling. And now they're saying, look, guys, we got to be better than this. As a people, we got to be better than this. But yet, he didn't spank them yet. So they're complaining. You're going to bring us out here to kill us. Verse 4. Then Yahweh said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and they shall gather their day's portion every day. Here another big hint. That I may what? Test them whether they will walk in my law or in my ways or not. Can I just say this right here? A lot of testings that come our way is for us to know what's in our heart. Do you know that Yahweh knows what's in your heart? Do you know that Yahweh knows what's in my heart? But the thing about it is, He knows, but a lot of times I don't. And He brings these things. He brings thirst and He brings hunger. He brings testings. He brings these things our way to let me see, how am I going to respond to Him? Am I going to grumble my way through the situation, or am I going to praise my way through the situation? The choice is ours every day. Every time something happens that we get blindsided, are we going to grumble our way through it, or are we going to praise our way through it? These testings are still coming because guess what? We're no different than the children of Israel. And when He delivered us from Egypt through salvation on our way to the promised land, which we hadn't reached yet, guess what? There's testing and trials that come our way to make us more into His image. He's trying to reveal in our heart, He can get you out of Egypt. But getting Egypt out of you is a process. And that's the journey. And guess what? We've gone through many, a lot of us here has gone through many feast cycles. And I hate to say it, I'm talking to myself first, I find every year there's some stinking Egypt still in me somewhere. And there's something in me because I'll be claiming for the meat pots, or something because I'll start remembering how good it was here, or might be how good it was there. You see what I'm saying? But He's saying, nah, we have to trust Him for everything in our life. And guys, that ain't easy, but that's just going to have to be the way it is. All right, where am I at? All right, verse 5. So now He's going to tell them, about the rules of picking up manna. So we're going to go from 5 through 8, and then we're going to end there. It says, on the sixth day, when they prepared what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. He's giving them instructions, because he said he was going to test them. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, at evening you shall know that it was Yahweh who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I just want to share this again. What is he doing? He is pinpointing things. He pinpointed the firstborn that was to die, of man and cattle and all of that. He's pinpointing this. Now he's telling them, I'm going to start now. As far as I know, before this time, I've never seen manna rain down from heaven in the scriptures or even in history. But he's fixing to do something, and he's going to feed them. We've talked about this before, this manna, if it's coriander seed or whatever it happens to be, an omer was enough. It was around 2,000 calories. It was a great daily allowance that he gave his people so that they would sustain life, okay? We're going to see later them grumbling about the rock. They had to strike one, and water had to come out of there. But right now, he's laying the rules for them to be able to trust him. You think this is bad? All they have to do is on the sixth day go out and gather enough for the next day. Wait till the Shemitah comes. You got to trust for a year for him to be able to provide enough in the sixth year, a double portion, to get you not only through the seventh year, but get you into the eighth year. So the eighth year is going to be at the harvest. This is a small test of just believing for one day. He's setting them up. You're going to have to believe for a year. Verse 6. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, at evening you shall know that it was Yahweh who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, before I go to verse 7 and 8, I want you to understand something. Yahweh is telling them something. This ain't about Moses and Aaron. This is about me. I'm leading you. I'm leading you this whole way. Moses and Aaron didn't give you water. Moses and Aaron's not going to give you bread. Moses held up his hands. I'm the one that split the Red Sea. I sneezed, it all went back, and I dried up the land you came across. Yahweh's doing this. Moses is the prophet. He's the one that they're going through. He's speaking, but Yahweh is doing the miracles. Moses didn't go out and kill the firstborn. Moses didn't bring down the lice and all of that. Yahweh is doing all of this stuff. You got to stay focused that Yahweh is doing these things, because this is going to be important in just two verses. So Yahweh is saying, I'm the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now listen, in the morning you shall see the glory of Yahweh, because he has heard your grumbling against who? It's against Yahweh. See, they thought they were grumbling against Moses and Aaron. They thought they were grumbling against the prophet. Israel always thinks that it's the prophets that's bringing the bad news. That's why they stoned the prophets. They would hang, kill the prophets. Guys, the prophets is bringing, thus saith what Yahweh says. You kill the prophet, he's going to send another one. Until you get the message that it's me this in charge here, not my messengers. For what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses says, when Yahweh gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because Yahweh has heard your grumbling that you grumbled against him, and he says, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against Yahweh. Now, we're going to stop on this high note, okay? Because this is what Paul was saying. Do all things without grumbling and complaining, because guess what? In our grumbling and complaining, could we be grumbling and playing against him and we not realize it or recognize it? And you know what? The answer is yes. A lot of times when we're grumbling and complaining in our situations, and the reason why I want to bring this out, this is so, so heavy and strong on me, is because when you read through these Torah portions and you read through this scripture, you see how many times they grumbled and complained against Moses, and Yahweh kept telling them, it's not against him you're talking about. It's me that you're talking about. I send the fivefold ministry in, and they're speaking what I'm saying. But when you're fighting the process, you're fighting me. You're not fighting them. Now, if an individual, myself or any individual standing in sin and all of that, yes. But in this process, when we're obeying His Word, and when the messengers are teaching the Word, and so really what I'm wanting to bring out here this morning is this. I was really amazed, and I know I've read this over and over and over and over again. Let's go to Revelation 12:10. I won't finish with that one. I'm fixing the metal now. That's okay. Well, here's why I'm saying this. Because this is for our good. This is for our good. I want our life to be a prosperous, awesome, abundant life. Amen? And I just believe this. This is my opinion. I believe that a lot of times we can get caught up into grumbling and disputing. We can get caught up into things. It starts off innocent, and then somewhere down the line, we've talked about this before, we cross the line. And then we get caught up into backbiting, or we get caught into accusing or whatever. How many times have you ever heard that Satan is the accuser of the brethren? You ever heard that? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But do you know it doesn't say that? It says Satan is the accuser of our brethren. Not the brethren, but our brethren. Look in your scripture, because that makes a huge difference. Because when you look at the word our, it's ownership. Now, if somebody accuses somebody and they're in sin and all of that, that's one thing. That's not what this is talking about, okay? Look what it says. Verse 10. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of Elohim and the authority of His Messiah have come. For the accuser of what? Our brothers and sisters have been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our Elohim. Now, I just want to say this. You take this for what it's worth. If you don't like it, that's fine. If we're an accuser, if we are an accuser of our brethren, we're acting like Satan. Because Satan is the accuser of our brethren. We need to be careful that we don't accuse our brethren. Amen? Because if we're accusing our brethren, we're acting like Satan. Can you pick this up, what this is saying right here? If you can't, read it, go over it and over it. I am not saying if somebody is in sin, we have in Matthew it talks about how we're to do it. If somebody's in sin, you go to them. And if they don't heed, you go get the eldership and all that and you go to them. I'm not saying that. And I think you understand this. The children of Israel wasn't grumbling against Moses because he was in sin. You see what I'm saying? They were grumbling against Moses and Aaron because they were following and they were doing what Yahweh told them to do. And they were grumbling and complaining about it. I don't like the direction you're taking us. Why did you bring us to this spot? Why couldn't you have just left us in Egypt? Do you know what they're saying? Why couldn't you just leave us in sin? Why can't you save us and leave us in sin? I was happy in sin. You're the one who don't like sin. But so I know I need a Savior, so I want to be saved and just leave me in sin. That's what they're trying to say. It doesn't work that way. He delivers us from sin. He's got to remove you from the place of sin. He's got to remove you from that place. He can remove us physically from that place, but you know what? He is fighting hard to get that place out of us. And that's what this journey's about. And if you don't believe it, and I think now if we would just sit back and take inventory of our lives, you can see some times in our lives where we've struggled that Egypt is still hanging on in certain areas. And what we do is, it's not His fault. He brings us to these places in our life to test us so that we will turn to Him and say, you know what? This water is nasty. This water it's no good. So it's an opportunity, Father. Where do we need to go get your water to drink? What do you want to do for us? Isn't it really awesome? We got all these great examples before us to where He brought water out of a rock, which we'll read down the line. But yet, little bitty things come into our life, it shakes our faith. It just does. So, with that said, on a happy note, guys, this is really and really for our good, that we would know. And I just want us, as we've gone through these seasons, I want Shavuot, I think Shavuot's going to be special because of what we come through. We come through a lot of uncertainty. Everybody will have different opinions on everything. And I'm okay with that. That's not a problem there. But the thing about it is during this process, we can't grumble and complain and dispute things. How many people in here have a belly button? Every one of you have a belly button, has an opinion. Okay? We do. I'm just saying, my opinion, your opinion, they may not be exactly the same. We're good with that. But yet, we can't allow our opinions to go into grumbling and disputing. You see what I'm saying? Because then it's going to cross over into sin. So, with that said, as we're going through this journey, let's be people of faith. Let's be people in all things. Paul said all things. And I'm going to tell you, that ain't easy. That ain't easy. Because we're people that usually like to talk about situations more than we pray about it. You know, the Father loves us. He brings testings. We have to recognize things for testings when they're testings. And we have to learn. Me and Arnold's talked about this. There's so much to learn from what we went through. We need to be better. Because guess what, guys? This ain't going away. What we just went through ain't going away. It's going to come back and it's going to resurface. It'll have a different look about it. You know, Satan's good about putting a little paint, little new colors or whatever, and making a situation. We understand fully what's going on here. We're not totally blindsided for all of this stuff that's going on here. We're just not going to get in a bunch of arguments, but what we're going to do is we're going to have a positive attitude and we're going to move forward. And we're going to fix wrongs and we're going to be stronger next time. We're going to be the body of Messiah, because I'm telling you, in His return, it is going to get uglier. This is a test. We've gone through testings, and you know what? The next test is going to be uglier. I just want to tell you right now, if you don't think it's going to be uglier than what we went through, but I'm just telling you, that's just what's going to happen, these testing and trials. It happened to the children of Israel. Why do we think we're any different than they are? We're not. So we need to be with all things without grumbling, complaining, and finding our way through the wilderness in a great attitude. Amen? All right, let's pray. Redeemer.